Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear
that? He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. And a party to go hell. Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Good golly, Miss Molly, sit back and get your famous brew, get a snack, because we got an hour coming up that's going to cling you to your seat. So better set your, some of you people better put your seatbelt on, because remember last week, you got out of control. Damn. Rockstar, how are you?
I'm great.
Well, I understand, you know, from what I understand right now, we got a guy named Chris from Connecticut. That's been pretty cool, man. He's got some recordings. He's did a book and everything else. We're going to get into him real quick. And we're trying to get Margo, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about her last week. She got on. And I can't, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, if it's okay with you, Rockstar. Is it okay with you? Can I do it?
Go ahead.
All right.
Do it.
Margo is a Secret Service person. She's got this secret phone. And she can't be using this secret phone. So what she does is she's incognito. You know what that word means. It's on the down low for you new guys, okay? So, but as soon as she gets on the phone and they find out, and all of a sudden it starts to tick. It's like a time bomb. So she can't use it. So she says, oh, shit, I better hang up because they're going to catch me with my pants down. Maybe she'll grace us tonight with using somebody else's phone. Nevertheless, I want to say hi, a big shout-out to my crew up there in Nevada. Holy good golly, Miss Molly. My good buddy Bob and his lovely bride, Lene, had a damn, I don't know, was it a brunch, a lunch, or what do you have, you call it, dinner? They started at 3 and at 6:40 they were done, and she did some of her culinary arts work that made everybody punch drunk. They were just gourmeting and gourmanding while the whole time they were having, and having that, sipping that juice of that grape. Boy, I'll tell you, they were having fun. I want to thank you guys so much. Glennis, ladies and gentlemen, when you guys meet Glennis, she's the princess from Manila in the Philippines. And she's been hog-tied by John. John Holster got this one, and he got himself a damn good one. And then for all you single ladies out there around the globe, Michelangelo, the lover, the Don Juan from Italy. He's available. He's looking. But he has to make sure he gets a quality woman now. So if you don't have quality papers, don't even bother. And like he says, like everybody else, if you come a-knocking and this trail is rocking, don't bother him because you know what he be doing. So that's a good old shout-out to our people out there in Nevada. And by the way, it started snowing there tonight, folks. And we've had nothing. We're going to build an ark here, so because the damn rain is so much. And by the way, they informed me today, you ain't going to believe this crap. They normally shut down the ski joints there on the 15th of April. They're keeping them open all year long. Swede, what does that tell you, Swede? Where's all that water money going? We'll be talking about that real soon, won't we? Nevertheless, folks, we got to get back there to Connecticut. I want to talk to this guy because apparently he is top drawer. And first time ever, without any further ado, let's get out there to Connecticut and let's talk to Chris. Chris, you out there?
Yes, sir, Tom. How are you?
How are you, good buddy?
Not bad, not bad. How are things out there in the West?
It's wet. It's wet, my friend. It's really wet. But that's okay, all right? You know, we get through it. We're going to build up an ark, and we're going to do like everybody else does. So give me a bio from the beginning and bring us up to date. Tell us everything that you do, what you aspire to do, what you've done, and where you plan on going, all in the Bigfoot world.
Well, you know, like everybody, majority in the Bigfoot world, they don't ask for this to happen to them when they come to an encounter with Bigfoot, I would assume. And at least with me, it happened in 2008, and a friend of mine that I went to high school with, his family owned over 800 acres in the northwest corner of Connecticut, about a mile from Mass and about 9 miles from New York State, to give some people a location. And it's the beginning of the Berkshire Mountains that go up and through the western part of Massachusetts and to Vermont, just giving people a general idea. And my friend said, listen, we have a cabin here on the estate, and no one's used it for a decade. And if you want to bring your son Christopher up, go ahead. I said, great. I said, this would be nice. I'm an outdoorsman. I love fishing and hunting. So I took him up to the cabin up there, and the owners of the property had deceased, and their three boys really didn't spend much time on the property at all. One was in California and New Jersey and Virginia, and they came maybe for a few weeks during the summer. So it was needed a lot of TLC, the property, because it was just not being taken care of, and they were trying to sell it. So when I went up there with my son, the first night, we're in the cabin, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, it was a one-bedroom cabin. I just started hearing this crack, thunder cracking right outside the cabin, and I get up and I look at my son, and nothing's waking him up, but I knew something was out there. And whatever it was, it just kept on making the breaking noise from about 1:30 in the morning till about 5 in the morning. And this was in June that we were there. So I knew something could see in the cabin if I turned the lights on. But I had no floodlights or outdoor lights where I was just to turn on. And So I left the lights off. I just stayed awake close to the door, looking through the window. And when daylight came, I went to the direction of what I heard all the sound and commotion was. And I find on the ground these strips of wood that came from a cathedral pine tree, which is one of the largest pine trees in New England, that was broken down in half because it was hit by lightning maybe a decade earlier, but half of it was still intact. And there were 11 strips about 7 feet long and about 4 inches thick, and they were lying like a design, like a half circle. And I'm going, what, you know, and I had no clue. I mean, I believed in Bigfoot because of the Patterson-Gimlet tape, but I only believe that Bigfoot existed, Tom, Sweet, and Rocky, out west in California and Washington, that. Connecticut, nah, never thought of it at this time in 2008. So I see these all lined up perfectly, like a half circle separated, and I'm going, wow, something with intelligence had to do this, you know? And so I was trying to keep my son.
Let me interrupt you for 1 minute, please. Somebody, yeah. A listener just, another, this is a Chris with a K from San Bernardino, says, could you ask your person, was the tapping or clicking or wood that she heard, was could it be that they were chopping or breaking wood?
Oh, he was ripping the tree. The bark from the tree, right out of the tree. He was just ripping it in segments. And then when I came out to look, huh?
And you could hear that.
Oh, yeah. It was petrifying. It was so loud. It was, you know, I mean, it was scary. It was like thunder. And he was only about maybe when I went out in the morning to check the area, it was only maybe about 30 yards from the deck of the cabin, you
wow.
know, and oh yeah, it went on for hours. I was praying. I went and got the two biggest knives that I could get, put my back against the door, and held them, you know, just there, because I didn't bring any gun. I didn't bring any bow or anything with my son on the first time going to this area. You know, this was an estate. I mean, this estate, no one used it. It was like a safari. I mean, I never saw like 60 deer at night from one meadow to another, sitting down on the ground chewing. You know, I mean, it was something you never see. I was like, my mouth was dropping because nobody ever really was on their property. It was private property, and you know, and these animals, not animals, but I call them forest beings. You know, I was invading their domain, okay? This is, you know, and to make a long story short, I ended up staying there for 12 years, okay? Because, first of all, I needed to find out what was scaring me and wanting me to leave. Like, when I brought my son out that next morning and showed him this pattern, but he was only 8 at the time, you know, and but I, you know, I'm always truthful about seeing things, and you know, just explaining to him about nature, because I'm a nature person, I'm an outdoorsman, I love the outdoors. Matter of fact, I'm going Bigfooting on April 7th, doing a live show Bigfooting out in the Adirondacks, right near where the cabin is, about 3 miles from there as a crow flies on April 7th for 5 nights. But anyways, getting back to your point, the next morning I take him out, show him that. I said, okay, let's go do something fun. So we went down to the Farmington River, and we did tubing down the river. After the tubing down the river, we came back to the cabin. And when we got to the front steps, there was this, I'm not kidding you, like a Louisville Slugger, a dump straight. It was like huge, right on our doorstep. And, you know, and we had to step over it to get up to the step. Something left its mark. And then I knew when animals leave their scat or urine or scent, it meant this is my marking. It's my territory. And I'm looking at it. My son and I are looking at it. And we're going, you know, wow, we could do something like this. And this big, I'm not kidding you, this was a trophy. You know, it was crazy. But still, I did not put Bigfoot into that idea in my head that Bigfoot was here. But I knew it was something that was strong. I knew something that was, you know, let the mark. It had to be intelligent. That was the thing. It was smart. And so I asked my girlfriend to come and visit me at the time. About 3 days later, she came up and we had a barbecue. And just as the sun was setting, you know, the sun had set. So just the light that was around after the sun goes down. And in the Adirondacks in that area, it's beautiful mountains. It's about maybe 800 to 900 feet elevation. Not as like the Rockies or out where you are. But anyways, as soon as the sun went down, we're eating there and having dinner, and all of a sudden, this scream comes out in the same direction where that wood was torn off from the tree and laid down. I mean, the scream, and the only way I can convey it to everybody was from a gentleman that was on the History Channel that was talking about Bigfoot. And he said if you could get a man, douse him with gasoline, set him on fire, and have the strength of an elephant trumpeting as screaming, that was the perfect analogy I could say, because we were just sitting there not knowing what was coming at us, eating our dinner. And it went on for at least, and I'm not kidding you, 20 seconds. I mean, of anger. I mean, and I get up, I run to the corner of the deck, and I'm looking out there. And like I said, the light was going, you know, with the canopy of the forest. And I turn around, and I see my girlfriend and my son gone. So I run to the door, I look inside the door, and there they are in the kitchen, both looking for the largest knives that they can grab for protection. I mean, it was almost comical, you know, because there were, you know, two of them there, but it was unreal that this thing was out there. And, I mean, I could be on for hours telling you how it led up. You know, I've been on Sasquatch Chronicle and all these other shows and talking my piece here to you, Tom. But in the long run, just to give you a taste of what happened to me, in 12 years, there was a family. There was a family of Bigfoots that lived there on the mountain, just like we have families. They have families also. And you know, they... At first, they hated my guts, and they didn't want me there. But as they saw me over time, I guess, myself with nature, feeding the birds and stuff like that, and the way I was out there, they tolerated me. And then they went as far as getting closer, and then running into them, and then seeing them face to face. And you know, I have a YouTube channel, and I put my over 200 videos that I have done, and I wrote my book about my time living up there with them, which has done fantastic, and I'm very lucky that people love my writing, and I'm going to write a sequel on this because they all want me to do it. And, you know, and it's opened the door with me with the Native Americans that have read it and understand. And though I've been ridiculed that, you know, that my thinking about with Bigfoot is a little bit more than just flesh and blood, what I've seen. And I know a lot of people have seen Bigfoot, and maybe they've seen Bigfoot run across a field, jump over a fence, and that was their encounter. But me living with them for 12 years, I've seen more than that, where I'm going like, how is this possible? You know, like Einstein's relativity of E equals MC squared. Well, you know, nothing made sense when you're up there living with them, and how they can reappear and disappear, and you know, and, you know, people think what I said and what I mentioned, that, you know, I was on LSD and stuff, but no, there's a paranormal side to Bigfoot. And if anybody really knows anything about Bigfoot, knows that. But it depends on your encounters. If you think, you know, you've seen them running up the mountain or grabbing a chicken or crossing the road, that's your encounter. But if you had time with them, that, boy, it makes you scratch your head and saying, there's something else here. So that's why I keep going, and I'm going, like I said, April 7th. I'm going to be videoing my journey up there for 5 nights. And, you know, I was there camping a year and a half ago, and I was saying to Sweet, like he so wants to, I was with this woman that I brought with me who's a medium, and my opinion is it's always great to have a woman with you if she can handle going out into the wilderness to look for Bigfoot, because I believe that they feel a little bit more at ease and comfortable approaching you if you have a woman, instead of having a group of guys with a group of guns and running the RVs and all this stuff. You're not gonna get far. You may get lucky, but normally it is not gonna bring their attention where they'll be approachable to make contact and so on. But anyways, what I was mentioned talking with the Swede, we're crossing this stone wall that are all over New England that you have to climb over, and she goes, look at the bear. I go, yeah, there's the bear. Yeah, that's right. So we're just pausing, looking at the bear, and then the bear just stood up, stared at us, and then, you know, moved to the right and started walking away. And I put that on my YouTube channel just right after that, because we were like, you know, we were both shocked. I didn't have my camera ready, like most things happen with people looking for Bigfoot, but you'll definitely hear us talking and thanking him for his appearance and letting us stay there on the mountain. But it's an addiction, as you well know. Tom, Swede, Rocky, and all your viewers, listeners, once you've tasted it, you seem to want to gravitate to it. And I believe that once you've encountered Bigfoot, you have more encounters because you are marked. That other Bigfoots, when they see you walking, I don't care if it's in Tennessee or you're in Wyoming or Idaho or Quebec or anywhere, that they know that you have had a encounter with a visit with Bigfoot. They know that already. It's imprinted on you. It's in your DNA. And that's a quick summary that I just said to you real quick, because I know you said you have other people maybe coming on the show and give you the spiel about my life in general to this point. And that's the best I could do for now.
And what you've done was very, very well, I might add. And before we get any further, because I got a bunch of questions, a bunch of people have texted and emailed me questions for you, I forgot to talk about my good buddy David Gill at Genesis. David, I know it's your night off with your family. I hope you're tuning in, and God bless you for all of what you do for all the people out there for their transportation needs, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you're doing for me. But nevertheless, you take home and you stay at home and stay out of these damn rainfalls and just endure and love your family and spend time when you can with them, because I know you're not coming back until Saturday. But it was an honor to meet you, and I told you I'd give you a shout-out, and I did. All right, now let's get back to you, Chris. Daniel wants to know, in the 12 years that you've been hooking up with these Bigfoot creatures, how many times have you seen them in person?
Oh, God. Daniel, it's an excellent question. I've lost count, okay? At first, you know, the first time I did really see one was back in 2008. It wasn't until 2013. Okay, they played games, shaking the cabin. I seen their shadows and stuff. But I went out in January because I started putting trail cameras throughout the 800-acre property, Daniel. And I would put, up into trees. I'd carry my stepladder. I would put wind chimes in the trees. I was wasting my money with pork chops and chicken necks and all that stuff, because I was just getting videos of animals and vultures and everything else eating the food. So I started putting wind chimes just to attract their attention and so on. One January, it was warm enough that I went out there to check one of the trail cameras, and the wind chimes were down on the ground. I had some plastic toy ducks, like mallards and stuff, I would hang next to it, and they were down on the ground, chewed, like bitten. You could see the teeth, which I have on my YouTube video the channel, and they were straight. But anyways, getting to your point, to answer your question, as I was walking back, real happy with my SD card that I had, I was walking back to the cabin, and as I walked back to the cabin, I sensed something was following me. And that was one of the most scariest times, even more than confronting and seeing Bigfoot. And then I'm walking, and I'd walk 20 yards, stop, it stopped. When I walked another 20 yards, it stopped when I stopped. You know, I'm going and going and going. And I'm going, oh, man, I can't, where is the cabin? I mean, I can't wait to get to the cabin. And I was like, you know, just over maybe a quarter of a mile away, but it seemed like several miles away. So when I got to the cabin, I went in. I was carrying a stepladder with me, a small one, a three-footer on my back, because I would hang things. And then when I got in there, I grabbed my binoculars. I looked in the air, and because it was January, you could see right through the trees. It was just like a skeleton forest. And as I'm passing by, there was Bigfoot standing by the tree looking at me, you know, and standing there.
Okay, so let me stop you there, right there, okay?
Yeah.
So as Daniel did a PS to his first question, he's got three more. Yeah. And Robert and Mike and Sally and Josephine and Dino, I'll get to all of your questions, too. I mean, they're all fascinated by your story, Chris.
Yeah.
He wants to know, this is still the same guy, Daniel, what did the first creature look like compared to the last creature that you saw in size, color, and hair length?
Okay. Well, the first one that I saw was black. You got to remember, tell Daniel this, that, you know, he was probably about with my binoculars, he was probably about, I'd say 100 yards away when I got back to the cabin, but I got my binoculars out, and he was just standing there. But he was black. I'd say he was about 8 feet, flat face, I guess. He didn't stay long. Then the second one that I saw was, and he was wide, a girth, you know, a good size. But the second one that I saw, I came upon a kill of a deer kill. And the hair, Daniel, of the deer was all taken off and laid down on the ground. And this was in April. Laid down on the ground, just like a Persian rug. It was like 10 feet by 10 feet. All the hair of the deer was laid down, and it was like drying out. So I was taking these pictures of it, and just of the bones and everything, the hind legs and the front legs of the deer were gone. The head was gone. Only the neck and the spine was left, and a little bit of the hip. But the hair was separated maybe by 10 to 12 feet away, and it was just drying out. So after I took the pictures, I went up to the cliffs. Where exactly, just about the same area where I took the SD card, and it was following me the first time. So I went to that area because I knew it would be an area where, you know, I might find something. And as I'm climbing, and this is in April, and where I am, you have a late spring and an early fall because of the high elevation. So nothing's blossomed yet, even though it was April 14th. Remember that day. Anyway, so I'm walking up there, and I look to my left, and there in full motion is a Bigfoot running in my direction. Okay, and I'm wearing a yellow raincoat jacket because it was drizzling, and, you know, and it could see me, and it was running on the cliff's edge, and I was about maybe 30 yards from it. And it's already in motion, and I'm just staring, and he was so skinny. The thing about this Bigfoot, he was thin, very, very thin, but he was black, a gorgeous, shiny black. He was running really like a weird run. I mean, it was almost like a goose step run from World War II, and the way he was running, it just was unorthodox, but he was very, very thin. And then, and this was like 75 yards. I'm not kidding. And then when he ran by me, I'm looking, and then when he went by this tree, the thing about it was, which was crazy, Daniel, was he didn't go past the tree. And there's no way something that fast could run and stop that quickly. When he went by past a certain tree, the tree was maybe 30 inches long, wide, you know. But there's no way. And I said to myself, "All right, he must have climbed up the tree," because I was trying to see him past the tree. So I walk towards the center of the tree, and at this time, I even had candy bars in my pocket and apples in my backpack, just in case. It got down to, you know, maybe, you know, this contact will be friendly or whatever, but I had food with me just in case. So I'm walking to the center of this tree and wondering if he's going to go to the left or to the right. I get to the center of the tree, and he hadn't made a decision, so I said, all right, I'll go around the left the way he was running, and nothing was there. Nothing. And
do you think that they have the ability, Chris?
Oh, they have the definitely. These things have the ability to stealth, to run. Like when I'm out in the looking for, I'm living out in the wilderness, I know how to get food and stuff and what mushrooms to pick. And I know a lot of people say, "Oh, you're getting the psilocybin mushrooms, that's why you're crazy." Well, okay. They can say, but I know living out in the woods, what kind of morel or oyster mushrooms or the woods on wood. So I'm out there picking mushrooms right next to my cabin, and boom, this juvenile, like 5 foot, falls out of the tree in front of me, lands down on his back. He gets up. I'm staring at him. He is staring at me. I'm in shock, but, you know, I'm not screaming or anything. He looks at me, and then he just takes off. Now, this is in October. Again, it's a skeleton forest. The leaves are almost all gone then. Okay, off the tree. And I'm watching him run through the woods, and he's leaving like this vapor. I could see him just going like zigzagging through into the mountains, to the area that I was in, where I seen the last, mentioned these last two stories of encounters. And then within less than a minute, I am going to check the spot where he fell down with the branch there, and all of a sudden there's a big break and snap. Bang! And I knew that, hey, don't go any farther. Just stop what you're doing, and I sure respected him. So I went back to the spot I was, like 20 yards away, and I started, kept doing what I was doing, throwing stuff in my bag. And but they just have the capability, and that's why people say about portals and different dimensions. There is, okay? There's so many things in this world that
okay, let me stop you one more time. He's my God, he's got a plethora of questions here as you're talking, and I just want to mm-hmm. try to get as many in as I can for him, and the rest of these people are all pissed off already because they got questions also. So what mm-hmm. let's answer this last question for him, for Daniel,
yeah.
And we'll get to Mike's and Robert, and these people. So his next and biggest question is
mm-hmm.
from in the fifth, because from 2008 till current is 15
yeah.
years. Is that correct? Hello?
Yes, yes.
So that's correct, right?
Yes.
You said you've been
doing
this.
I'm still doing it.
You said you've been seeing these creatures for 12 years.
I lived at the cabin for 12 years.
Okay. All right. So that's one of the mix-ups there, Daniel, so I hope you understand. He can hear you as we're talking, by the way.
Well,
all right.
Then.
So here's the deal. He says, how many of the creatures do you believe you saw in all those years? Different.
Well, I don't know. I've seen them with the glowing eyes. I've seen them red. I've seen them with reddish hair, reddish-brown hair. I've seen them gray, brown, but most, the majority of them were black. Hair, beautiful black. Flat faces, not pronounced faces. The eyes that glow, the eye shine that, like shoot out like I-beams, you know, from a car or from a flashlight that are orange and yellow. You know, there's just a lot of things that come with Bigfoot, flashes of green bursts of light into the woods at night and white, you know, that just appear.
Well, I understand the different colors and all the different attributes. But see,
you know, are you talking, you're talking about how many I've seen? Probably up to 30. You know, when I'm doing dishes, I used to go to do this, look out the window, and I'd see a Bigfoot walking out there. And I'd run out there, and I'd bring my camera, and I'm trying to find a picture of him. I couldn't get him. I'd run out again if I'm, doing something on the porch or going to the bathroom. I see him walking out the window in the distance, you know. And I'd run out there with my camera. I said, you know, it was fruitless. They weren't staying there, being like with a lot of people trying to take a picture of Bigfoot. So
okay. Let's try to stay on point. Okay.
Yeah.
So collectively, how many did you say that you think you saw in 15 years?
I'd say over 20.
Over 20. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All
now,
right.
Now,
so,
I'm going to say that when you see Bigfoot, Tom, I'm saying like 3 to 4 seconds when they're going through the woods. Yeah, like that. If you call that an encounter, yes.
Okay. All right. So let's hope, Daniel, that this is sufficing right now. I've got to get to the rest of these people. They're busting my chops. All right. So now let's get to Mike.
Tell Daniel, you can tell Daniel, you know, why don't you tell them and your listeners, go to Chris Marola, CHRISMEROLA on YouTube. That's it. I didn't put Bigfoot Chris, whatever. Go on there. You can look at my videos that I had. Start at the beginning if you want. See the videos that I got of Bigfoot in his head and the stealth and the howling, whatever. And my book, read my book. It's called The One Who Runs and Hides.
The name of the book, Dan, slowly.
The One Who Runs and Hides. It's a name after an Indian Native Americans. It was called Satuko, and I looked at all these names for Bigfoot, and there's thousands of names of Bigfoot in the Native Americans, and this one was Satuko, which means the one that runs and hides. And that's
okay.
What
all
I wrote on my book.
All right, let's stay on point now. Hold on. All right.
Yeah.
Daniel, again, if you want to get into depth with Chris, put his name into, did you say YouTube videos?
Yeah, just go into YouTube and just put my name,
yeah,
Chris, C-H-R-I-S,
Merola, M-E-R-O-L-A, okay?
Correct.
The name of his book is The One Who Runs and Hides. It's taken from the Native Americans out there. So, Mike, we're going to get to you right now, and I'm sorry, forgive me, I mean, this guy is really interesting, and he's in-depth, and he's kind of us. I want to tell you, first of all, Chris, welcome to the world of Sasquatch, number one, okay?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, because you know, we have people from all over the globe that listen to us, and we're the longest-running Bigfoot show ever. We've been on the air since 2004, and we're well-known, and we take everybody serious until we find out that they're full of shit. I'm not saying that you are. I'm just trying to tell you what it is, what it's all about, okay? But we respect everybody, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. And let's get to Mike's question. Mike says, dear sir, out of all the encounters you had, did you ever get to see their face? What did their face look like? Dear sir, if you did get to see their face, did any of them interact with you?
Yes. You know, Mike's going to have to go on look at my videos on YouTube channel. I was just in West Virginia and Virginia where a Bigfoot female made contact with me, and I was out there. But yes, their face is flat. Okay, a lot of people have different areas of the country where some even say their Bigfoots are almost human-like. You know, even more than, I mean, really human-like. I have not seen that. But the ones that I've encountered, there's a flatter face, broader nose, a dark skin, no really much hair on their face. There was one that was... at night, I couldn't see his, when I shined the flashlight on him, he would go behind the tree, but he was a 12-footer. This guy was a monster, but his eyes were just bulging orange and yellow. I mean, just shooting out of his skull. And I got a video of that. So if your listeners want to go on my YouTube channel, it's called This is Bigfoot. I just had to let people know the paranormal side. And you'll see the Bigfoot. I had these. I bought these binoculars, and they can video. And there was this several Bigfoot, but this one that was the closest. I zoomed in on, and you will see his ear, his eyes, just like the X-Men. That guy that could shoot and melt buildings and stuff, whatever that guy's name. His eyes were just like shooting out of the skull of this Bigfoot. And they all, I think, have possessed the capability of having this eye shine, or even some stronger than others. And the 12-footer, this guy that I measured when he was outside my cabin, it was orange and yellow, that eyes. The one you'll see on that I posted on my channel, it was more of a white glow, you know, shooting out of his skull. But this huge one. He had hair that covered his face. It wasn't like many of the others that had shorter hair. This Bigfoot had like stringy, long hair that just covered his face, and he was a monster, whiter than my freezer, you know, just whiter. But he did not like no threats. There was no threats. Actually, it was the first time I encountered seeing them with the glowing eyes.
Time out. You just got yourself an offer. Robert M. says, I'll pay you $1,500 in cash if you will take me on your next expedition with a guarantee that we will see one of these creatures.
Oh, well, tell Robert, thank you very much. Generosity of that. You know, I've had people, you know, offer me money like that before. And I will be doing a live show, Robert, on Friday the 7th. But that will be with your you know, Steve, the giant, and you know, and I'm going to be with him on his show on that night, Tom, and up in the mountains. But telling him on that, you know, I've gone so much with Bigfoot, that right now I am trying to make contact with Bigfoot. That's my main goal, is to understand why they are here and what knowledge they can give you. And if you listen to the elders and, well, elders,
I listen to the old elders. Listen to me closely, okay, please, Chris. You know, a bird in the hand is two in the bush, and if I had the ability and knowledge that you possess, and I can use $1,500. I'll tell you that straight up. So I'm going out there anyway, and if you want to come and help me lug my shit and just shut your mouth and come out there and do as I tell you to do, I'll take your $1,500.
Well, you know, let me finish my story here, okay, because I just, you know, I go to Virginia, West, people ask me to come on their property, Michigan, whatever. There are sightings. They get in touch with me, watching my show, reading my book, my channel. I'm there more, you know, because I brought mediums with me. I'm trying to understand what I've been taught by mediums and their sight with Bigfoot, that they've been here for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, okay? And I call them the forest people. And they tell me they're the guardians of the forest, of this planet. And I am trying to understand what their intent or their ideas or what anything I can get from them. So that's why I'm going out and doing this like I'm doing on April 7th. Now, I am 64 years old. I don't feel 64 years old, but I am. And I go and you look at my YouTube channel, I go out places where it's dark, the canopy, even if there's a freaking full moon blasting, the lights don't even come hit the ground. And I document everything. But the thing is, it's not money to me at $1,500.
What do you do for a living, Chris?
I'm a school bus driver.
Presently?
Yeah.
Are you married or single? Okay. Do you...
Why?
These are some of the questions I've got here that these people want there. If I ask you, I don't have to go rigmarole with all the people that are asking me these questions, okay? So the next question that they said here is, out of all your tenure of doing these things, what was the closest you ever got to one?
Closest I ever got to one?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the one that I just was with in West Virginia, she came to my tent. When I opened my tent in the morning, well, you'll see that on my YouTube channel, she left me a beautiful, beautiful feather that stuck in the ground with a hairpin that she must have found from a girl and clipped it on the tip of it. But the nice thing about it, when you see that video, is the little veins that come off the main stem of the feather, and it looks like it's a feather from, like, I would say, a raven or a crow. I'm not quite sure.
That was a blackbird.
It's dark in color. You'll see it. Whatever it is. Anyways,
what do you think this male Bigfoot's intentions were?
Well, this is what I'm going to tell you something about this thing where you were asking how close it was. Okay? The feather itself, the veins, she made loops. She made a loop in it without breaking it. I mean, how can you even a machine take that little veins that come off the main feather? You know, they're so fine. She made a beautiful knot, loop, and she gave it to me. And, you know, like I said, once you're imprinted and you have that marking from being with Bigfoot, they know your DNA, and they know if you got a good heart or you got a shitty heart. You know, they know your intentions if you're out there to cause trouble or you're not out there. You're going to be out there to be a friend and get in touch with them. They'll be more inclined to be with you. I'm giving all my documentation, what I do on my YouTube channel and throughout, is to teach people what to look for and how to communicate.
Do you make money on your YouTube channel?
Nah, I don't. No, I don't.
All right.
And I don't make that kind of money doing. I don't make the kind of money doing it in driving a school bus. Let me tell you that either.
But apparently, you're happy.
Yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. If I could hit the lotto, I'd be much happier because I'd be in some other areas of the country.
Well, I'll tell you what.
If
somebody here offering you to get to on your way to the lotto with $1,500, and if I was you, I would say, yeah, come on, brother,
right.
Come with me all day long.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, so
different people
and
different prices.
No, I understand.
Go ahead. Answer another question.
Yeah. Let's get to my co-host, the rock star, because Rockstar has been up close and personal to these creatures. Rocky, what do you think of what you heard here tonight?
Well, you know, I don't doubt anybody, you know, as to what they've seen when they're telling me about it. I don't doubt it. I don't, as far as the mystical aspects, I don't buy into that. I have a hard enough time dealing with the natural world, and you know, I don't have time for the supernatural world. To me, a Bigfoot is, if a Bigfoot was as smart as everybody thinks or seems to think it is, it would probably be driving a Dodge Ram. I'm not doubting what anybody says or thinks or anything. It's just that what I saw was pure animal, all right? Maybe an intelligent animal, but an animal nevertheless. I've had people talk about the portals and all that. That kind of stuff is stuff that I have to see myself. I mean, I just can't. Like I say, I deal with the natural world, and I ain't going to live long enough to start dealing with the supernatural world also.
Okay. Let's get Swede's input on this. Swede?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom. Well, it's definitely some, you know, having talked with Chris earlier before the show, and you know, the encounters are quite exciting as it goes. I mean, wow, like you say, welcome to the Bigfoot world. I'm not saying that it's not by any means, but from my experiences, the things that I've seen, you know, the flesh and blood thing is more in my vocabulary. Not saying that there might not be some kind of behind the veil thing going on, but it may not just be Bigfoot. I think there may be a possibility there's other things besides Bigfoot doing that. But I'm with Rocky on that, on a lot of that. It's hard enough for me to deal with the dimension that I'm stumbling around in before I have to go into another dimension I don't want to go.
Okay. All right. And by the way, Chris, how far are you from Georgia? I know it's south.
Probably a day and a half ride in a car. Went 35 hours.
The reason why I'm telling you that, one of our guys that have been with us for at least 20 years came into a bunch of bucks. He's down there in Enterprise, Alabama, right next to Georgia. And he says, Tom, I just happened to listen in tonight, and I like the way this guy talks. And if the other guy offered him $1,500, since I just came into over this $100,000 that I came into, I'll double that offer if he'll let me go out with him for 7 days, and I'll pay him in cash up front.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. That's it. Yeah, you know, and tell him I thank him very much for his generosity for that. You know, I mean, really, that's very nice. Even the $1,500, it's not. Maybe in the future, you know what? You can give my maybe in the future, but this week, what I'm going to be doing in there, that might be a possibility. I've been offered more than that.
Okay, hold on, We got Marco. Marco, you out there? From Montana. Marco, you out there?
There she is.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi.
We missed you. What happened?
We had kind of like a little emergency phone call just when we were going to call.
So here, you got 1 minute. Tell us what's going on up there. I heard about the vocalizations.
Oh, yeah, we've got a lot of whooping and hollering. There's been a rock throwing. Sightings. There's one. How far away is the graveyard? Standing behind a big tree, moving. We could see it moving back and forth.
Did you get any pictures?
No, I was in shock staring at it, but my friend was moving around.
I tried getting it, and I couldn't in time, and then...
What's the matter with Mark? Smoking that wax weed?
Phone. So,
now, what's your name, dear? I didn't get your name. I know Margo. What's your name?
Lavella.
Hi, Lavella. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you, and welcome for coming on our show. What tribe are you affiliated with?
The Spirit Lake Nation.
Oh, Spirit Lake. You're with the top dogs. Lavella, we're at the end of our clock. That thing keeps clicking. Chris, I want to thank you. Margo, I'm sorry about you couldn't, you know, with your problems with your phone. And Lavella, I'm going to get your phone number. Give it to Rocky because I want to talk to you off the air. And next week, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of big stories. I never had so many people so interested in you, Chris. I'm going to put a big list out for you, and I'll direct them all to Chris Marola on your YouTube, and the one who runs and hides. Kudos and salutations. Until next time, America. Bye-bye.
Bye. Good night, Margo. Good night, Chris.
Thanks for coming on,
everybody.
Chris.
Yeah, everybody, thanks
all right,
for coming
guys.
On.
All right. Yep. Take care. I hope you enjoyed the show.
I did. Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Just brought them together. Thank you.